Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Proverbs, chapter 3. We'll read verses 19 through 27 together. We'll read this passage responsibly. Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 19 through 27. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 19 through 27. And again, we'll read this passage responsively. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes, keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Let's finish on verse 27 together. Ready? Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. And let's pray. Father, thank you again so much for what you do for us here in this place. Lord, what a great place to rear our children and have our family. Make this the center point of our lives. Lord, thank you for a preacher with a vision for our young people as small children and babies. And yet, as they go through their early years, into their teen years, and graduate, and beyond, thank you for his vision for us as adults. Lord, I pray that you'd give our preacher your power tonight, please. Our next generation hinges on it. Lord, America needs help. And I believe we have some of the finest young people that could do something about it here. Give our preacher what you have for us tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I'll read to you again one verse. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 27, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. It says, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. For what will you use the power of thine hand? We often refer to the great hand of God. The hand of God is that which doles out the goodness and the blessing and the watch care that he provides for us. We also have hands. And God would like to see what we're going to do with our hands. You have in the power of your hands a chance to do good and a chance to do right. You also have in the power of your hands a chance to do wrong and a chance to do bad. In weeks and months, as you leave the exact care of mom and dad, we'll find out what you put in your hands. Tonight, we give special attention to our graduating high school seniors. Please don't misunderstand graduation, young people. It is not the end, though you wish it was. This is truly the beginning. It is truly the beginning. Your future is in your hands. We hope that you'll place yourself in the hands of God. That is the safest place and the most productive place. I believe this. I believe that high school graduation brings honor to parents. I believe that high school graduation brings honor to grandparents. I think that high school graduation brings honor to your teachers. I think it brings honor to all those who have invested in you. And never forget this. You're not self-made. You are not self-made. There have been people that have sacrificed sun up to sundown. There are people that have done without. There are people that have given them themselves to invest in you. And you are the sum total of what both you have done and everybody else that's invested in you. I have here in my hand a bit weathered document. It is my high school diploma from when I graduated from high school. It was printed on the Gutenberg press hundreds of years ago. I graduated on June the 1st in 1978. 8. Yeah. I hold in my hand a document. You know, in a way, this document means very little. What means something is what I will do or what I did with the document. That for which the document stands. You understand something, young people, education is a bit worthless if it doesn't produce something. What good is a doctor that knows how to save life that never saves a life? What good is an engineer that knows how to build something but never builds it? Knowledge alone really is worthless. I say to you, in a few days, each one of you will be handed a diploma. I want to ask you something. What will you do with that that is placed in your hand? That's the title of this sermon and challenge this evening. Again, I ask that everybody listen in, but in a special way, those of you that fill these three rows of pews tonight, I want to talk to you about this. Now use what you have. Now use what you have. First of all, I would like to remind you of some Bible characters who used what they had. For instance, I say to the mighty and powerful Samson, Samson, now use what you have. Judges 15, verse number 16, it says, and Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass, have I slain 1,000 men. Hey, Samson, what is that you have right there in your hand right now? He said, I reached down and picked up some bones, and it was a jawbone. And the Philistines, the enemy, were upon him. And he took that jawbone, he clamped his hand around it, and he fought, and he slew 1,000 of the enemy. Samson, I say, you better use what God's placed in your hand. I say to Moses, Moses, you better use what you have in your hand. Exodus 4:17 it says, thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, and wherewith thou shalt do signs. What do you have there in your hand? And Moses said, I have my shepherd's staff that I used to lead the flocks and the sheep for all those years. And God said, now you're going to use that thing. You're going to use that staff. You're going to use that rod. You're going to lead many, many people. You're going to use it to protect some people. And he does. He takes that staff, that shepherd's staff, if you will. He uses it to challenge Pharaoh and all of his sorcerers. I believe it was a part of the parting of the Red Sea. And you know something? I'm glad God looked down and God said, what do you have in your hand there, Moses? And he said, I have the shepherd's staff. And God said, use what you have in your hand. Samson, use what you have in your hand. The day's coming, you're going to have a diploma in your hand. In a few days, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with all the training that you have received? What are you going to do with all those little talks that you had with mom and dad and all those lectures and all those speeches? Young people, I say to you, you better use what we place in your hand. Thank God for Mary of Bethany. And I say, Mary, what is that you have in your hand? Matthew 26:7 says, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. Hey, Mary, what do you have right there in your hand? What is that you hold in your hands? And she says, it's an alabaster box. It's full of precious ointment or precious oil. And I think God looked down and God said, Mary, use what I placed in your hand. Don't waste what I put in your hand. And she did. She took that box, she broke it open, and she placed the oil on Jesus. And it was a soothing thing. There were others present that said, what are you doing, Mary? And Jesus said, you leave her be. She's chosen the right thing. Well, what did she do? She used what God placed in her hand. I thank God for the widow and the story of her two mites. God looked down and said to that widow, widow, I put something in your hand today. What is it? The widow looked and she said, I've got a couple of mites here in my hand. Mark chapter 12, verse 42, and the Bible says, and there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. What do you have there in your hand, little widow? I've just got a couple. These were less in value, less than a penny. She said, this is all I have. It's my life savings. I've got these two mites. And God said, use what I put in your hand. And she tossed those two mites into an offering. What a famous sacrifice. What a famous offering. Nobody ever went down in history in having given as much other than Jesus Christ himself. She went down in history. Why? God put something in her hand. God said, now you use what I put in your hand. Hey, there's a young lad over there. What do you have there? He said, my sack lunch. John chapter 6, verse number 9 says, there is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes. But what are they among so many? There were thousands of people present, and they were hungry. And Jesus said, hey, young man, what do you have right there? He said, I've got this lunch. We've got five pieces of bread and a couple of small fish. That's all I have in my hand. And the Lord said, use what I put in your hand. Use what I place in your hand. And he gave that lunch, just five small pieces of bread and a couple of fish. And Jesus took it. And he multiplied it, and he fed 5,000 men and all the women and children. I don't know. You might say, well, brother, what's that thing you're going to put in my hand? That's not much. God can take what he places in your hand and multiply it over and over and over. Young people, if God wanted to, he could use you to turn this world upside down for Jesus Christ. But you better use what he places in your hand. Hey, who is that? It's a woman by the name of Abigail. Abigail, what do you have there? Said, I've got a picnic basket. Huh. Well, you better use what I place in your hand. 1 Samuel 25:18, the Bible says, then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and two bottles of wine and five sheep ready dressed and five measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on her asses. Now, here's what happened. Abigail was the wife of a man named Nabal. Nabal had not dealt well with David and his army. David and his army said, we're going to go back to the farm of Nabal. And we're going to kill him and we're going to slaughter them. And Abigail knew that. And Abigail got up early one morning and she got the old stove a-cooking. She started making some bread and some pie and some cake and who knows, maybe some fried chicken and gravy. And she got all that ready. And she said, I'm going to put that in my picnic basket. I'm going to go down to the lane. David's men are coming today to massacre us. And I'm going to offer him all of this food. I'm going to give it to him as a peace offering and ask him to spare us. God said, where are you going, Abigail? She said, I've got this picnic basket full of homemade goodies and treats, and I'm going to go out and make peace with the man of God. Sure enough, she walked to the end of the lane. Here comes David and all of his soldiers. David asked the same thing. What you got there in that basket? And she said, I've got some food. He said, do I smell cornbread? She said, you smell cornbread. He said, you got any butter? She said, I've got some butter. He said, let's sit down and talk a while. I don't like to kill people on an empty stomach. The Bible says that Abigail negotiated peace with what? What God had placed in her hand. Was it a sword? Not in this case. It was the ability that had been given to Abigail. Hey, was it a sword that the widow with two mites used to go down in history? No, it was whatever God placed in her hand. What do you have in your hand there? What are you going to do what's been handed to you? What are you going to do with it? Hey, David, is that you, David? You better use what I put in your hand, says our God. 1 Samuel 16:23, it says, and it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. One day, David was playing his musical instrument, and God looked down and said, David, what is that you have there in your hands? What are you doing? And David said, I've been singing, Lord. I've been writing music. And God said, I need you to use that. David reached for his spear, and God said, no, I don't want your spear right now. What you have in your hand right now is what I want you to use. David picked up that harp. King Saul had himself depressed. King Saul had himself in a bit of an emotional mess, and God said, David, you take that harp and you go down to Saul's place and I want you to play for him and use what you have in your hand to help a leader. What do you have in your hand there, young people? What's been placed in your hand? Now use it. Use what God puts in your hand. There's Joseph of Arimathea. What is that? What do you possess? Oh, you have the deed to a burial plot? What? I think you need to use that. And I'm sure he thought, how in the world can I use this deed to a burial spot? Matthew 27, verse 60. And laid it in his own tomb, laid him in his own tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. You say, what's happening here? This is the Joseph that went and begged the body of Jesus Christ. And he took the body of Jesus and buried it in a burial tomb that he had intended for himself. And God looked down and said, Joseph, what is it that you possess there? He said, oh, I've got a place that I plan to be buried someday. And God said, I want to put my son in that place. And Joseph said, but I was going to use that. And God said, don't you worry. He's not going to be there long, but I'd like to borrow that thing just for a day or two. What do you have in your hand? Joseph, I have the deed to a burial spot. And he gave that burial spot to Jesus Christ. Hey, do you understand? Historically, the resurrection of Jesus Christ took place in a burial spot provided by Joseph. And I think when God looked down, said, what do you have there in your hand? Joseph said, it's really not worth anything. And God said, if I put it in your hand, I'm going to use it in a mighty and a powerful way. And I'm going to turn the world upside down with this one thing. What do you have in your hand there? What do you have in your hand, young people? You say, oh, God is my high school diploma. Oh, it's far more than that. It's far more than that. There's a lady by the name of Jael, spelled J-A-E-L. God looked down one day while a battle was taking place. Jael was at home. The men were out in battle, but the battle was taking place in her own backyard. God looked down and said, hey, Jael, Miss Jael, what do you have there in your hand? She said, well, right now I got this hammer and this nail because I've been building some things around the house. The Bible says in Judges 4:21, then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent, took a hammer in her hand, went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples and fastened it into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. So he died. What had happened? One of the leaders of the opposition by the name of Sisera, This man was the enemy, and he came to find a haven for a moment in Jael's house. Remember, a battle was taking place in her own backyard. Sisera knocks on the door, and Jael says, sir, come right in. And she said, hey, I know you're hiding. I know you're running. How would you like to have some cookies and milk? And he said, I can't think of anything I'd want more when I'm fighting a battle. Some cookies and milk. So she warmed the milk up a little bit. Can I tell you what happens to people that drink warm milk? She said, gulp you down this big old glass of warm milk. And he did, and he said, you know, the Sandman is knocking at my door. And he laid down, and God said, Jael! What do you have in your hand? She said, I don't have anything but this hammer and this spike for building the tent. God said, use it. She very gently went over and placed that big old spike on his temple and took that hammer in. She nailed her a man. Like a mouse in a mouse trap. Hey, what do you have in your hand? The widow of Zarephath
What is that you have in your hand? Well, all I have is a little meal and a little oil, some cornmeal. That's all I have. God said, I can use that. And I can use it in a big way. She said, I don't understand that. God said to her, you don't have to understand it. Just obey. You give me what you have in your hand and I'll use it. 1 Kings 17:9, the Bible says, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth unto Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Here it is. Elijah, he is fleeing, he is tired, he is weary. He shows up at the widow's house. He needs food. He's starving. But when he arrives at the widow's house, they have been in a time of dearth, a famine. There wasn't enough food. And she and Elijah says, ma'am, could you make me some food? And she said, preacher, I really don't know how I could. I've got just enough cornmeal and oil to make a little cake for me and my child to share. And we're going to then die because our barrel of meal and our cruse of oil will then be empty. And we don't have any more. We have enough to feed two. Three, and we're virtually going to go and lay down in our beds and die of starvation. Elijah said, God told me to tell you, give me the bread. Give me the bread. She said, okay. She went and made the meal. And Elijah ate it. She went back to the barrel. She looked in thinking, oh no, it's empty. But you know what? God had put enough meal and enough oil aside so she could eat, and they ate. And the next day, she looked in there and she said, I only have enough to feed me and my son. And Elijah said, you fix me a meal. And every time she would take care of that man of God like she did, God supplied and met the need. And never did the barrel come up empty. Never did the oil away. Hey, what do you have in your hand there? What is it that God has placed in your hand? May I recommend to you that you use what God has placed in your hand? Hey, Matthew, sitting at customs, the tax collector, God would like to recommend you use what your hands have been made capable to do. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 9, the Bible says, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs, and he said unto him, follow me. And he arose, and he followed him. Hey, Matthew, what do you have in your hand there? Matthew said, well, I've got a calculator, and I'm pretty good with numbers. And God said, let me use that. Let's use what I've placed in your hand. Let me use the intelligence that I've placed in your mind. Let me have that. I can do something with that. You know something? Matthew said, I'll give it to you. The Bible says he followed Jesus, went down in history as one of those special people that left all to follow Jesus Christ. But what did he have? Was it a sword? Oh no, oh no, not at this time. It was an ability to calculate. It was an ability to use numbers. And God used him. Hey, mother of Moses, what is that you have there? I recommend you give that to God. I recommend you use what God has placed in your hand. Exodus chapter 2, verse number 3, the Bible says, and when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the riverbanks. Here's the story. They were out to murder all the baby boys. And Moses had been born, and his mama didn't want him to die. And so she took and she made a basket. She was a basket weaver and fixed that thing up and put that baby Moses in the river and let him sail downstream. Hey, mama, what do you have in your hand there? You say, well, I don't have much. Oh, you better stop and realize something. You may have the ability to salvage the life of your little boy or salvage the life of your little girl. Don't take lightly your influence. Don't take lightly, mama, the influence of a mother. That day, mama did all she could. What do you have? She didn't have a machine gun. What do you have? She didn't have a PhD. What do you have? She didn't have $1 million. God said, what do you have? She said, oh, God, is this basket. Now what can I do with it? God said, you give that basket to me here. You put that baby in it. I'll do the rest. You do what you can, and I'll do the rest. She placed that baby named Moses in that basket. Mama waved as the baby went downstream. You know what happened? one of the children of Pharaoh's household. They found that baby. They took Moses in. They reared him. And you know the rest of the story. He rose up. He rose up in a mighty and a powerful way. And he fought for God. And he fought for the freedom of God's people. The most famous man of the Old Testament was salvaged with what? A spear? No. With what? A PhD? No. With what? Hey, a great amount of money? No. With a basket. Why? That's what God had placed in Mama's hand. She did what she could. She gave what she had. Hey, young people. God's put something in your hand. What are you going to do with it? Say, it's not much. Little is much when God is in it. Hey, Eleazar, what you got going here? What do you have in your hand? He said, I have my sword. He was a warrior. The Bible says, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord brought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. Hey, Eleazar, what's that you have in your hand? He said, I've got my sword. It was my sword that I was trained to fight with when I was young. It's a sword that was given to me to make a difference and to protect and to have victory. God said, you use it. You use what you have in your hand. This man fought. The Bible says he fought from sun up to sundown. He had his hand around that sword as he fought the enemy. Said that he worked so hard at fighting for right that day that at the end of the day, they couldn't pry the sword out of his hand. Hey, young people, I gave you a sword tonight. What do you have in your hand there? You got a sword. The sword of the Word of God. Now you fight for it, and you live with it, and you do right by it. When you're old, you make sure that your hand is so wrapped around this sword that they can't even pry it out of your hand. Hey, what do you have in your hand there? That's not much. Why say to you, use what God puts in your hand. And so we look in the Bible, and I could go on all night, but we see person after person, there's something in their hand, and they use what God gave them. Let me say this second. Graduating senior, I ask you, what do you have in your hand? A diploma? Indeed you do. Now then, use it. That diploma signifies some training, some love, some education, a lot of care. Hey, use it. That diploma is handed to you, and you're to use it to do God's will for your life. Not yours, but God's will for your life. Now use what you have. Use it, and listen carefully. Young people, you use that diploma. You use this monumental achievement. You use it to fight the enemy of the devil, like Samson used the jawbone of the ass. You use how you've been prepared to work miracles in life like Moses used his shepherd's staff. You use your diploma. You use it to be a blessing to Jesus, just like Mary of Bethany, who anointed him with the precious ointment from the alabaster box. You use your diploma. You use it to help the poor, just like the widow used her two mites and gave us all a sacrificial example for history. You use your diploma to feed the hungry, just like that historic lunch of 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes fed 5,000 plus. You use your diploma. You use it to create peace among the brethren as Abigail created peace between her husband and the enemy. You use that diploma to nail down the worldly enemies of life like Jael did, nailing down the head of Sisera in her chin. You use your diploma. Use it to be use it to help the man of God like the widow of Zarephath was blessed to help Elijah sharing her oil and her meal. You use your diploma. You use it to do right with the money that God gives you, like Matthew, the tax collector, took his talent of numbers and used it for God. You use it, like Moses' mama did, to make a basket, to salvage a life, hey, that saved a whole nation of people. You use it. You use it. Like Eliezer did when he used that sword to fight the enemy. Hey, high school graduating senior, I challenge you. Now use what you have. But listen to me. Luke 12:48 says this, For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I've got some both exciting, but extremely important news for you. You have been given much. Just so you understand, those that have been given much, there's much required of you. You see, you've attended an above average church. Much will be required of you. You've been subject to above average leadership. Much will be required of you. You've attended above average Sunday school classes. Much will be required of you. You've attended above average youth department. Much will be required of you. Those of you that had the privilege of going to Martinsburg Christian Academy, hey, that's above average. Much will be required of you. Some of you have above average parents. Much will be required of you. You better use what you have. I'd recommend you use what you have and get some more. Get some more. You're not done. You're not done learning yet. I know you pretty well figured you got it all figured out, but it won't take you long to figure out that you don't know as much as what you do. Hey, I never figured out how dumb I was until after I left Mom and Dad for a little while, and the older I got, the smarter they got. Now use what you have. Now use what you have. You have what it takes. Now use it. You know, let me say thirdly, and I'm finished. It would be tragic. It would be tragic, young people, if you did not use what's been placed in your hand. Wonder if Samson would not have picked up the jawbone of that ass to fight. What a tragedy. But he did use what he was given. What would happen if Moses wouldn't use his miracle-working shepherd's staff? What would happen if Mary had not used that oil from that alabaster box to be a blessing to Jesus? What would happen if the widow wouldn't have given her 2 mites? What would happen if the lad had not given his 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes? What would happen if Abigail had not taken that picnic basket and that ability to bring peace between David and Nabal? What would happen if Joseph had not given his gravesite? What would happen if Jael had not hammered and nailed Sisera to the ground? What would happen if the widow of Zarephath had not taken that meal and oil and fed Elijah? What would have happened if Matthew had not used his ability with numbers? What would have happened if Eleazar had not used his sword? What would have happened if Annie Crosby had not used her music writing ability? What would have happened if John Bunyan had not used his ability to use the English language and write Pilgrim's Progress? What would have happened if a Jack Hiles had not used his public speaking ability? What would have happened if a John R. Wright had not used his organizational ability for God and organize a Sword of the Lord newspaper? Hey, what would happen if Lester Roloff had not used his ability to help rebellious young people? We'd not have the Roloff home. Don't waste what you've been given. Young people, a lot of people have achieved what you've achieved. But most did not take what they were handed and do the will of God with it. What is that in your hand? High school graduate? Your diploma is your pastor. I love you, and I want you to succeed. But my wanting you to succeed is not enough. You will have to use what's handed to you. And if you will, watch out. It is amazing what God can do. Look, if He can use a basket, if He can use 2 pennies, if He can use a stick, don't you think He can use you? God wants to use you. The sermon this evening is called, Now Use What You Have.